And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 22nd of August, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunny Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the
Onigan. It's not just another episode.
It's not. This is not just your average.
This is not just yet another episode of the Bunny Cardigan Show.
This is, can we say it? Is this the episode of the Bunny Cardigan Show? Capital T, the Bunny Cardigan?
I still think the most iconic episode is the TGI Friday story, like episode
the first
one or
episode.
Two.
That was the first story you ever told on the pod.
I think that's the most iconic, but this is going to be the best.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't see by the title of the episode, this is our 100th episode, the Bunny Cardigan Show. You guys have let us go for 100 episodes. James, can we give a round of applause for our listeners at home? Yes.
Thank you guys so much. Like, when we started this, we legitimately had no idea how it would go. We just both had good chemistry, and I wanted to start a Pistons pod. Nobody on the beat had one. And I wanted to create this dynamic of the reporter and the fan, and we were very unaware of how it would go.
Yeah.
But the response and the listenership has just grown, and we appreciate you guys so much for listening through all of our nonsense, through tough seasons of the team that we talk about, that you guys are fans of and you guys don't go away. We still wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for you guys, 100%, like no question at all.
I think when we started the show, we were like, yeah, it'd be cool if, you know, some people listen to the show. And then it sort of snowballs, right? And it becomes this thing where you're like, I didn't know that many people could listen to a show about the Detroit Pistons. And we can't, it blows us away like all the time whenever we realize this. And I mentioned it last week that the emails, especially, I feel like have given us, yes, a really good idea of how much you guys do consume the show and how much you guys do care. I love when people throw in like, you know, I usually listen to the show, you know, every day on my commute to work. On Tuesdays or on the way home from work on like Wednesdays
sex
and stuff like that. Yeah. And that was, we got an email about that and it was crazy.
Yeah. We've had children born to our voices. Yeah.
but
conceived, I should say.
This is like what I look forward to every single week. Like, you guys don't know how many times there have been like, you know, James and I, it's like a, you know, Monday morning, we get on the show and we're just excited, man. Like, we're just excited to get this pod out. We're excited to get to talk to each other. Sometimes it's like, man, we just haven't seen each other in so long. And we're excited to get after it. And, yeah, you know, doing this every single week. I'm very thankful for it. And for everybody who listens to this and makes it the show that it is. So thank 100%. You guys.
Like I said, you guys are the stars of the show. I'm excited. We're one person away from completing the fantasy basketball. Have we talked about the fantasy basketball? We talked about it last
week.
We did, right?
We talked about what we're gonna do pretty extensively last week.
Okay, good. We're missing one more person. So that one more person is supposed to email you Sunday, correct?
Yeah. So by the time people are listening to this, we should have all 40, which means give us until the following week. I might send out an email or something this week about draft dates and stuff like that. So keep your eyes peeled for that. If you are on the list, we will have a more formal update for you in the next episode once we do have everybody on board. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you it's time to talk to me nice.
Yes, it is. And I was going to say before that, just for posterity, last week, this is the last week of Zoom audio. I have to get a new microphone. For some reason, it records improperly in Audacity, but it sounds fine in Zoom. So sorry about that. But James, you did it. You finally did it. Maybe the most coveted guest for the Bunny Cardigan Show.
Yeah, I think between us. Yeah, between us.
Yeah, I think he would be like one or two on that list between him and Sadiq, I think.
You guys, you know who it is by now. And actually, by the part we're recording right now, we haven't talked to him yet. So
yeah,
it would be very B and C if it ended up not happening. We're supposed to talk to him in like 14 minutes. You've been asking me to use my contacts and relationships to get a guest.
Yeah. Rightfully so, I should
I mean, yeah, rightfully so. I've been delaying it. Part of it became a bit, and I just thought it was funny.
Agreed. Agreed.
And then part of it's like, I want to wait for the right time so that the ask is easier.
Yeah.
And this was the right time. Episode 100, fan favorite, Beef Stew. We have a 20-30 minute interview with him. I still don't think people, and the reason I wanted to get Isaiah, aside from him, and I've said this before, he's a sweetheart of a human being, and I'm excited for Nick to kind of learn more about his personality.
And through
all the stories I've done, I try to show that how much just of a nice person he is. But I still don't think the fans really understand to the extent of which he's just a really cool dude. And so this interview that we do, I'm trying to ask him nothing that he's been asked before. Nick as well. And we're going to play games with him. We're going to ask him wild questions, not wild, but a little off the beaten path questions to get his personality out. I hope you guys enjoy it. Beef Stew, B&C, coming soon.
There is nobody who I would rather conduct this interview with than James Edwards III. There is nobody who I would rather interview for 100 than Isaiah Stewart. And there is nobody who I would rather have supporting us than the B&C listeners. Ladies and gentlemen,
doom, doom, doom.
Here's Isaiah Stewart.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, Nick, I told you I'd eventually get us a player. Time just had to be right. Episode 100. As I told you at the top of the show, I wanted to get this guy specifically because as I've got to know him and I've covered his career, everybody loves him on the court in Detroit. But he's a good dude. And I don't think enough people understand like or know his personality. I don't know if it shows as much as it should. And I try to show it in stories. But I think a setting like this would help a lot of people kind of understand who Isaiah is and his personality. So we have a guy who I know as, and I quote, love Tom Izzo, but didn't come to Michigan State. And we're going to talk about that, but y'all might know him as Beef Stew. Isaiah, thank you so much for taking the time, man. How are you?
I'm good. No problem. Appreciate you for having me.
I just have one recruiting question. How close were you to going to Michigan State? Just for my own, you can lie to me if you need to. I just want to know.
I was real close to going to Michigan State.
He's not lying.
Yeah, I was real close. They pretty much had the deal still, but I ended up taking the rest of my visits and deciding on Washington.
Him and Izzo together, like, is there a better pairing, you think?
Sicko, that would have been. I mean, that would have been. What the class would have been? What, 18 or 19?
2019.
Man,
we can dream. It worked out for him at Washington.
Yes, it did.
And Coach Hopkins is a good dude.
You
guys just got back from LA. Did you guys do like we saw the Rico Hines thing. I know people posted. You guys hung out with Mr. Gore as the owner. Yeah. Did you guys do like a mini camp out there too?
It was more of us just like, meeting up to really do the Rico Hines.
Okay.
So, we met up, did the Rico Hines and then just working out, pretty much just workouts. And we wanted to just get some runs in together as a team. So we got out there just to play against some league guys at the Rico Hines.
Now, it sounds like, obviously, I'm not around you guys in the summer as much, aside from summer league, but it does seem like you guys have met up as a group on a few separate occasions. And obviously, you guys are close in age on this team. Dwayne and Troy are trying to build chemistry and have you guys the culture right and all that stuff. Is this offseason different for you in terms of like the team aspect of how you guys have spent it in comparison to your first year when there was probably a few more proven veterans? Maybe guys did their own thing. Is it different?
Most definitely. This offseason has been different by far by my first year. So this year we're trying to meet up more as a group, get work in, and like I said, we're all similar in age. So, it's pretty much to relate and, do things together. And, obviously we still have some vets. So, the vets are still getting out there with us as well.
All right. I want to pivot to, I don't know these answers, but I'm very curious. Go to the pre-draft and draft process real quick. Do you still have the Blazers hat? You keep it like a memento?
Nah, I don't have the Blazers hat. I think, they sent us like a draft hat locker and everybody was just taking the hat. So I think my dad probably kept the Detroit Pistons hat, but I don't know what a Blazer hat is.
So it was a bunch of teams.
Yeah.
Like they sent you, okay.
Yeah.
What's like the logistics behind, and this is going to be such a dumb question, but like, so you and Sadiq get drafted and it wasn't technically by Detroit because they were trades, right? So you get drafted by Portland, but like end up in Detroit. Sadiq gets drafted by Brooklyn, ends up in Detroit. But like you still have to pretend and put on the Blazers hat, right? But Sadiq was just like straight Pistons hat. Is there communication like, hey, you still need to put on this hat? Or are you just like, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care.
Nah, it's not. It's communication. The NBA has rules. So you got to put on the hat that you got to put on the hat by the team that drafted you. So I still had to put on that Blazers hat.
Yeah.
Even though I know I was going to Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
When you were drafted in Troy's press conference, either the day after, or maybe even that same day, I can't remember. He talked about how excited he was to land you. And he had like a smirk on his face where he was like, I had some intel on him. And I know him and Hop are very close. I think they were together at Syracuse. Yeah. Did you work out and meet with the Pistons multiple times during the pre-draft process, or was it pretty on par with other teams?
The Pistons was my first workout.
Okay.
They were my first and only workout, I want to say. They came up to Rochester to my hometown to watch me work out. And from that workout, I knew I was going to be a Piston. Like, I knew if they had a chance to land me that, that's where I was going to go. And Troy and the staff and everybody worked hard to, make sure they landed me on draft night.
So was there a point before your name was called that you knew you were going to be a Piston? Like, you kind of mentioned it. You said you had an inkling that you would go to Detroit. You just didn't know how they would pull it off. As the night went on, were you more nervous or were you more confident that they would find a way?
I was confident in Troy because, Troy was really, really serious about trying to find a way to land me in the draft. But, anything could happen. So I was, it was also this thought in the back of my mind of, what if I don't go to Detroit and a team end up grabbing me before they can. So I was also thinking that. But, when I seen my agent on the phone when Detroit had the 16th pick, and I got pretty excited because I knew that's where I was going to.
Does a team show an interest in you like that? Like you said, they were your first workout. And I think Jalen Duren said that during his pre-draft that the Pistons were his first workout. And he said that he wanted to go there after that. And like for you, does that mean a lot when a team is the first one to want to come see you and get to know more about you? Because you really didn't have any ties to Detroit. I know one of your mentors, Mr. Shepard, was a Pistons fan growing up. Mm-hmm. But that was really your only tie to Detroit, right? Was through him.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But when I know I had the Detroit interview and just the rich history of big man, and to me, obviously Ben Wallace, and that really know, made me excited about Detroit. And I was just like, you know, I hope it happens and works out that way.
You have anything, Nick?
Yeah, I know. We know that you have a relationship with Ben, but like as far as you know, Rashid goes. As far as you know, anybody else from those teams go, have you been able to establish a relationship with any of those guys?
It's not. I haven't had time to really talk to a lot of other guys, but anytime I see them, it's always respect and it's always me picking their brain. I've known Rashid since high school, from, doing the camps. Mm-hmm. He was doing the high school camps, coaching the high school camps. So, I've been around since high school, but it kind of feel like it's still been from afar, even though I was up close, but I didn't really know much personally. But, that would be a guy that, I would love to pick his brain as well.
Sure, yeah. Just really quick, going back a little bit. I mean, James talks about how like they were, super dedicated to drafting you, to drafting Sadiq, to drafting Jalen Dern, to drafting all these guys. It feels like when Troy is like, "Ooh, I like this guy," he does everything in his power to make sure that guy ends up on his basketball team, right? So, does that make it easier for you, almost knowing like, okay, like these dudes believe in me? Does it make it easier to want to succeed for a franchise like that?
Most definitely. When you have the, people upstairs in the organization that, believes in you, that gives you a different type of confidence because they see something in you that others don't. Everybody, they probably thought 16th was too high and was probably mad at Troy taking me at 16th. But I appreciate Troy because Troy, he's seen the things in my games that probably I didn't get a chance to show in college, but it's been showing now, and I appreciate him for taking that chance on me.
I love that he said that because that's one thing I've learned about Isaiah. Like, he didn't say they thought 16 was too high. He reads. Like, you saw people say that, didn't you? Did that bother you? I'm sure that bothered you, but like, was that super prevalent during the process once you got drafted?
Yeah, most definitely. When I got drafted, I remember they did the analysts of whatever it was, B+, A+, and I think they gave Detroit like a D or something for drafting me. And I was like, oh man, but I remember those things, but I use this field, but I feel like I got to the point where, I proved critics wrong and now it's time to continue to prove myself right and continue to prove Troy right. So
yeah, James, we can keep going in just a second. I just want one more little follow up real quick. You talk about Troy's able to see things in your game that other people weren't, maybe because it's not something that you're able to show at Washington. I feel like one of those things is the three ball, right? Because coming into the league, I feel like, and if you want to talk about draft grades, that's probably what some people were writing was like, oh, it's this more traditional big. It's like, but you're not though, right?
And the switching. People, right. That pissed Isaiah off.
It did.
I could tell right away.
You see in the last decade that, these traditional bigs or they're adding three balls to their game. Is that something that, like, do you feel like you could play 10 to 12 years and not have to shoot threes? Or do you think it's too valuable to the game now?
Nah, it's too valuable. I don't want to sit here and say I don't have to shoot three. I can impact in different ways, but it's too valuable. Plus me, I work hard on my shots, so I want to go shoot some threes, get some threes up. So, I feel like as a big, especially if you undersized, you got to have something that, they can't take you off the floor. At first for me, it was defense, and now I'm adding a three-point shot so I can be used on offense as well. So, I feel like that's pretty critical, especially for undersized bigs.
I just want to beat my own drum. I remember his rookie year, it was COVID year, so we weren't as close to the floor as we were last year and normally. But he hadn't shot a three yet in his rookie year, but he was just shooting threes during warmups. And I'd like took a video to show fans that like there's something there. And like obviously shot 33 as a rookie, which lower volume than last year, a little bit more volume, 33 again. And then summer league, I think you were, I want to say like 5 of 11, close to 40 or 50 or 60% or something like that. So if you just watch your shooting motion, like I don't think there was ever any doubt that it would happen. It was just a matter of the opportunity arising. I'd like for you to clarify this because there are a lot of Pistons fans obviously I have to be on Twitter a lot and interact with fans and all that stuff. There are a lot of Pistons fans who think you changed your shot. Yeah. I never saw that. Did you ever change your shot since you've been in the league? Like your Yeah, I never noticed.
I never changed my shot. It was yeah, I saw some people saying that as well, but I never changed my shot, so I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's because when people see the shot go in more, like, oh, he tweaked it. I'm like, he's been shooting like that since he first got here.
Yeah,
same way.
How much do you see? Like, how online are you?
I'm really more on Instagram, but like,
okay.
If I hop on Twitter, you know, you check your you hop on Twitter and whenever you check notifications, obviously anything you tag shows up. So, a lot of people say they don't see it, they don't pay attention, but I mean, like, it's kind of hard not to see it when it's notifications. But I mean, at first I used to like get all riled up, but I'm to the point where, you know, I just trust in my craft, believe in my craft, and I'm more about proving myself right and proving Troy right.
It's year three. There's no time for it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
a few more questions for you. Before you got in the league, I did this story about like tales from the free throw line, where when I'm watching a game, I'm paying attention to X and O's, but I also like to like try to catch quirky stuff. And like, I always see guys joking around on the block during the free throw line. And I was always curious, like, if guys built relationships just because they're always on the block with this guy during free throws, or they get a chance to catch up with a friend. When I see you, you don't joke around a lot with opposing guys on the free throw line, like at on the block during free throws. Have you ever built like any like relationship with just a random opponent just because you guys are always matched up with each other? Is like any funny story that comes to mind? Maybe like a vet said like "Welcome to the league" or anything like that.
Steven Adams.
What'd he do?
Like, you know, like, I don't really like to talk at free throws because, you know, that's when, you know, guys, like, you know, the free throw is probably like the most friendliest thing in the game. You know, people talk, chat, catch up right quick.
But, yeah.
You know, I like to just keep it strictly just basketball business. But Steven Adams, you know, just focusing that. He does this thing. He got his little tricks. He does this thing where he just keeps touching you everywhere. And I'm looking at the ref like, you know, is this allowed? And the ref obviously ain't doing anything. So I said, okay, next time down, I'm going to do the same thing, try to mess with you. You know, so I'm just like touching him, tapping him. But and over time, I just picked his brain because, you know, he's a great offensive rebounder, a strong guy. You know, he trash talks me a little bit, just on like a funny point, like, you know, nothing too serious, but like, you know, he's strong. Obviously, I'm a young rookie coming in thinking I'm strong. You know, he told me I need to hit the weights. I need to hit the weights a little bit more, but, he's a great person to learn from. You know,
those highway screens, he does them well.
Highway screens, you know, I pick the brain on that, but, you know, I respect him because he comes out his way to, you know, whether it's after the game, you know, he comes out his way, you know, to the locker room to, you know, to pull me out and chat to me about things I can learn and he can teach me. So, you know, I respect him for that and I thank him for that because, you know, he's already a seasoned vet. He don't have to do that, but, you know, he go out his way too. So I respect him for that.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. All right. Last segment. We're going to give you like rapid fire and we'll get you out of here.
Right.
You're gonna have to answer questions about your teammates.
Okay.
All right. Who's and you for all of these questions? You cannot pick yourself. I know you're gonna be tempted to on a few of them, but here we go. Who spends the most time in the gym? I think I know that answer.
I mean,
Sadiq
has to be.
Yeah, he's a sicko.
Sadiq.
If you were stuck on a desert island with one teammate, who would it be?
Ooh.
And this could be entertainment, just trying to pass the time. This could be like there's aliens on the island. You might need to fight them off.
Maybe you're just running ones the whole time.
I'm gonna say Rodney McGruder.
Wow. Okay.
Why Rodney?
Yeah. You said why Rodney?
Yeah. Why Rodney? Just out of curiosity. Love Rodney.
Because I know whatever pop off. I'm Rodney. I know whatever. Not saying that my other teammates not, but I know whatever pop off, you know, Rodney gonna be with the shit. So
he was the low key one on the team that like fans wouldn't know. Like if someone was gonna go down, it would be Rodney that would help in.
Oh okay. Yeah!
Wow.
I love that. Best taste in music.
Best taste in music.
Do you guys take turns playing music out loud?
I'll probably say Saban because Saban always on the ox. You know, he get in the locker room.
Okay.
Got the iPhone connect to the phone, but usually whatever he plays, everybody usually rock with. So I'll probably say Saban.
But does he hog the ox? Does he let people have a turn? You know what I mean?
He kind of do hog the ox.
Lose big speaker?
We use big speaker or we use, if we're at home, we just connect to the
Speakers in the locker room.
Nobody really want to be on ox anyways because I don't think everybody like trust their playlist, but you know, Saban confident in his playlist. So
all right. Best dressed, and if you feel obligated, you can add reporter in this too. I'm not. Ooh. You can.
Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
You don't have to guess.
You made Lee Fitz, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
See, the first reporter ever. That's all I wanted. Okay.
Yeah. damn. Best dress.
Here's the thing is it's a lot of guys on rookie contracts, right? So a lot of dudes are just wearing team gear.
Yeah, but they all got shoe deals.
Me personally, though, when I first got in the league, I'm like, dang, like, this guy know how to dress. And I started getting some stuff. And I started to shop with him more just because I like the stuff he was wearing. And, like, his kind of taste and, you know, his swag. I say Rodney McGruder. He's not really active on the ground with his fit posts, but you know, I've been to his house, seen his closet. Like this dude got like a store inside his closet, like all the stuff that you know, some vintage kind of stuff, some new stuff. Yeah. So.
He's been on League Fits a few times. That's valid.
Yeah.
Worst dressed on the spot. Let me rephrase it. Simple dresser.
Simple? Okay, simple.
Let's keep it like that. That doesn't mean worst dress.
It's easy. Simple dress. Oh, we might have a tie.
Uh-oh. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is no disrespect, but Kelly?
I was going to say KO, yeah.
Okay, KO. And let me see. Kojo dresses nice, but he's not wild. Is that not number two?
Yeah. Kojo, simple, smooth, good vibe.
Yeah, he's smooth. Smooth is a good one.
I was going to say it was going to be a tie between KO and Buddy Boeheim coming in this year.
That's your man, too. You guys played AAU together, right?
Yeah, we played AAU. I've been knowing Bud for a long time, man. So it kind of feel like, you know, when we playing against each other or – you know, with each other in practice, it's, you know, it reminds me of the AAU days.
Are you going to take them to Somerset? Get them right?
Yeah.
But they got the Gucci downtown now.
Yeah, but my thing about Bud, though, even if I do that, I don't even think he'll wear it. He's just so simple.
He's not even, like, open to it?
He just likes what he likes? Just because it's $3.99, but, like, shoot, other than that, I don't even think he'll wear it, though.
You got to get Buddy like a Joe Burrow fit, like, and have him pull up to LCA one day with
the buffs. Yeah,
that would be hard. Buffs.
You know what? I might just have to do that.
get him the white buffs too, the Babytron ones. Right. There's only like three dozen pair.
Okay, say less.
All right,
just get buffs and buffs though.
That would be tough.
Buffs. That's gotta get some buffs.
Last few. Who's the funniest?
Saban.
I thought you would say that. Can I? Is Sadiq? Sadiq is low key funny to me. Like, it's like subtle. Does he ever crack jokes or is he just like Sadiq is just funny? Just like Sadiq the person. Yeah.
To us, Sadiq is so, you know, because you guys don't really know much about Sadiq because you don't really let nobody, you know,
right
inside. But like to us, Sadiq is funny. Like, you know what I mean? he does things that to us we think is funny. So,
what about Corey?
Yeah, I mean, everybody pretty much jokes. I mean, everybody crack jokes. The most serious person on the team is Sadiq, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, he cracks his jokes every now and then, but everybody else be cracking jokes. But Saban is definitely the funnier stuff.
Best shoe game. And this is kind of tough because, like, I know you're into sneakers, but you're limited in what you can wear, right?
Or I would have all the heat. But you could probably put I'm sorry, I'm going with Rodney again.
I was gonna say Rodney's shoe game is tough. I've seen his shoe game, yeah.
I've seen his closet, I've seen all the heat, I've seen stuff he ain't wear. He got the Dior Air Jordan 1s. Like,
does he?
Yeah. I'm like, bro, when you get these?
And he ain't wore them to the arena yet?
I think he probably wore them once.
Oh, like, okay. So basically, Rodney is just PJ Tucker off the court then, is what it is. He's got everything. He just doesn't wear it on the court.
Just don't wear them.
That's crazy.
Wild.
He does. I've noticed he does got, and we talk about shoes sometimes. So this is a good segue. With your Puma deal, like you can wear, can you wear like designer shoes to the arena? You just can't wear like,
yeah, I can't wear other
competitor brands, correct?
Yeah, I can't wear competitor brands. Like, obviously, all the other big brands and basketball, but also like any basketball brand. No, any brand that's in a basketball shoe, I can't really wear it. But like any off court shoe that's not a competitor, I can wear.
Okay. And then last one, and I'm curious now because I think it's changed a little bit. I don't know if it's changed, but there's more than one answer now. Best shooter on the team. I think it's between two guys.
Yeah. I would have said myself, but I can't put myself.
I knew you could say that.
But it is between two guys, though. You got Buddy sharpshooter, and you still got Sadiq who knocking things down. So,
he didn't say who I thought. I was going to say Isaiah Livers.
Oh, my bad, Liv.
I was going to say between him and Sadiq. Different types. Sadiq shoots more.
Right. Yeah, Livers not. But Buddy knocked that. Like, Buddy can knock that thing in, though. And he got a quick release.
Yeah, no, Buddy's jumper smooth.
Man, so you ever –
Buddy?
Huh?
You taking Buddy over Sadiq?
Why you put me in the spot like that?
All right, Ty, 1A, 1B. We'll leave that.
Leave that tie.
Nick, anything else?
Yeah, last question. So among the things that are dumb that fans typically care about, like, oh, Isaiah, I needed 15 and 10 for my fantasy team and you didn't do it. Like, you don't care about that. Who cares, right? Can I ask you a question that you probably don't care about, but I just like the psychology behind it. I need an answer.
Yeah.
You're not a big on-court accessories guy. Like, you never have been. Like, you just don't wear stuff. And I actually think it makes sense for you. I think it looks right, but like, why?
You love accessories.
It matters to me. It matters to me.
Some guys it fits, some guys it don't. Like, you know, you can't, like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't be strong and out here with like arm sleeve, leg sleeve with a headband. Like,
Dwight Howard did it.
That wasn't the best of Dwight. He was going through.
That's valid.
It's just, you know, some people it's for and some people it ain't. And me, I just think, you know, all I need is just like get taped up, have some socks, some shoes, and just give me the jersey. And I'm fine.
Perfect.
Just go to work. I do want to add one more thing. Do you have questions about the media in our job at all? Like, do you ever wonder like what we do? Because we always ask you guys questions. But I know we're like, you guys see us all the time around, and then you don't see us. I don't even know. Like, do you guys know we don't travel on the team plane?
Oh, yeah, don't?
No, we take commercial flights. Our companies, separate companies pay for them, yeah.
Bros and coach going to Indianapolis.
No, I got first class now. I've been doing this for a little bit. Come
on. it must be a long season for you guys, too, then. You know, I know it's a long season for the players, but, I mean, you guys must travel a lot and stuff, like.
So, like, yeah, I don't know if you know this. So, like, say you guys, we'll use Indiana as an example. You guys play the Pacers on Tuesday night, but you guys have a game in Chicago on Thursday. you guys will fly out the night after the game, most of the time. Mm-hmm. There's no commercial flights that late. So if Dwayne says practice is 11 in Chicago, let's use Denver, from Indy to Denver, where it's a bigger time gap. We have to get up at, well, I get up at 5. I can't speak for the other guys, but I'll get up at 5 and catch a flight just to make it in practice in Denver the next day on time. Yeah. So I didn't know you didn't know. Yeah. So yeah, okay. We fly commercial.
Okay. Yeah, that's dope. Okay. So y'all, it's dedicated long. As well then.
Yeah, you got to. You got to.
Respect.
Hey, man. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time out. And yeah, I'll see you in about a month at Camp and Media Day.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys.
Later, Isaiah. Thank you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.